Sanjay sir, should I start?
Yes, please start.
Yeah. So hi, good afternoon, good evening to all the participants. I am Sandeep Shah from Equirus Security. I welcome all the participants, investors, senior management to Network Technology India's post 4Q FY24 and FY24 result earnings webinar. Please note that this webinar is for 60 minutes and the same is recorded. Now I hand over the floor to Sanjeev Sancheti, who is head of UTUS Advisors LLP and IR and advising firm of NetWeb Technologies India, to introduce the senior management of NetWeb and to discuss the safe harbor statement and the flow of the webinar. Over to you, Mr. Sanjeev.
Thank you, Sandeep. Good afternoon to all the participants. It is my pleasure to introduce to all of you the senior management team of NetWeb today to present the call. With me are Mr. Sanjay Lodha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Naveen Lodha, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Prawal Jain, Chief Financial Officer and Chief Human Resource Officer. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Lodha for the opening remarks, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement in the earning presentation. I request all the participants to go through the safe harbor statement very carefully. Over to you, Mr. Lodha.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you, Sanjeev. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you to Network Technologies Q4 Financial Year 24 and Financial Year 24 Earnings Webinar. I will take you through the business operational highlights of the quarter and the year gone by, while our CFO, Mr. Prawal Jain, will share the financial metrics. We are delighted to announce that our company has achieved its highest ever quarterly and annual income and profits. I would like to repeat, our company has achieved its highest ever quarterly and annual income and profits. As stated earlier, AI system is now clearly progressing towards becoming the third pillar of our growth. This is reflected by its revenue growing 2.6 times year on year, while its contribution to company's total revenue has grown from 7% in financial year 23 to 11% in financial year 24, underscoring its importance as a significant revenue stream. We are also happy to announce the board of directors have recommended a dividend of Rs. 2 per share subject to shareholders' approval, which is 100% of the face value. Our operating income grew by 115.5% Y-on-Y for the quarter and 62.7% year-on-year for the full fiscal year, reaching 2,659 million in Q4 financial year 24 to 7,241 million in financial year 24. Profit after tax also showed a substantial growth, rising by 181% year-on-year for the quarter ended for the quarter and 61.7% year-on-year for the entire fiscal year, reaching at 297 million in Q4 financial year 24 and 759 million in FY24. Our business side, while our existing customers continue to support us, we have been able to onboard as many as 171 new customers in the fiscal year gone by. Future opportunities. While you are aware that our manufacturing partnership with NVIDIA for the NVIDIA Grace CPU Superchip and GH200 Grace Super Superchip MGX server designs under our Tyron range of AI servers, we will produce over 10 variations as part of this collaboration. The strategic partnership targets the challenges enterprise faces in building the right AI infrastructure at the right cost. With this collaboration, we aim to offer AI infrastructure solutions that meet the increasing demand for artificial intelligence across diverse industries and business verticals. Our solutions provide flexibility for applications like generative AI, speech analytics, text analytics, and automation. As you guys might be knowing that we have also launched the latest Intel Sapphire Rapids and latest AMD Genoa-based Make in India servers, high-end computing servers in the current quarter. Our newly established state-of-art SMT line with advanced capabilities is currently on trial runs and is expected to be operational very soon. Our business pipeline remains robust with a strong order book of 4,112 million for the March 24 as compared to 712 million in March 23. Ongoing enhancements in our capabilities, coupled with expansion of our operations and product portfolios, positions us favorably for sustained growth while retaining our technological leadership. Emerging business. As you must be aware that India's potential to capitalize on rapid expansion of generative AI, including the large language models, LLMs, rising global adoption of AI businesses, has positioned India to become the AI factory of the world. Cabinet's recent approval of 10,300 crore to the India AI mission marks a significant step in bolstering India's AI ecosystem. This funding, allocated over 5 years, will catalyze key initiatives including AI, India AI compute capacity, innovation center, data sets, platform, application development, future skill, startup financing, safe and trusted AI. Central to this initiative is AI compute capacity, aiming to establish an advanced, scalable AI supercomputing infrastructure by deploying over 10,000 GPUs in strategic public-private partnership. The integration of AI into general workloads by government entities and large corporations is driving demand for AI compute systems. This development, along with our deployments like Aravat, which uniquely position us to meet the evolving demands of the generative AI, offering promising opportunities for expanding our diverse product offerings and further strengthening our future. Furthermore, heavy adoption of private cloud across sectors and rapidly growing demand of high-end compute for inbound data centers across India represents a sizable opportunity for us. I would now like to hand over to Pravarji to provide the updates on financial numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loka. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the earnings webinar. I will give you a brief overview of the financial numbers for the quarter and the year before we open for Q&A. I hope everyone would have got a chance to look at the earnings presentation and the press release by now. While our CMD has already covered the macro outlook, I will try to explain in a more granular manner the financial performance of the quarter and the year gone by. Our operating income increased by 115.5% year-on-year on quarterly basis and 62.7% year-on-year for the entire fiscal year, reaching to 2,659 million in Q4 financial year 24 and 7,241 million in financial year 24. While operating EBITDA for Q4 financial year 24 increased by 166.5% on year basis to ₹404 million, it increased by 46.4% on year basis for the entire fiscal year to 1,025 million in financial year 24. The operating EBITDA margin was 15.2% for the quarter and 14.2% for the entire fiscal year. The profit after tax increased by 181.8% year-on-year on quarterly basis and 61.7% year-on-year for the entire fiscal year, reaching to 97 million in quarter 4 financial year 24 and 759 million in financial year 24. PAT margins improved from 8.4% in Q4 financial year 23 to 11% in Q4 financial year 24. We are happy to inform that the board has recommended a dividend of ₹2 per share. This is the first dividend proposed post our listing in July 23, with a dividend payout of close to 14.9%. Return on equity for the entire fiscal year was 29.4%, while return on capital employed during the same period was 38.5%. Net debt improved significantly to negative 1,017.1 million in financial year 24 as compared to ₹285 million in financial year 23. Kindly note that this net debt calculation excludes unutilized proceeds from IPO. The cash conversion cycle in the fiscal year financial year 24 stood at 69 days. We continue to remain focused on our strategic priorities and growth pillars, laying emphasis on our long-term goal of sustainable growth and profitability. On the back of a strong quarter and year, coupled with a robust order book and business pipeline, we are extremely confident of achieving strong revenue and profit growth in the current financial year. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Sandeep Shah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So with this, we come to the end of the opening remarks. We can now open the floor for Q&A. Participant request you all to restrict to two questions in the initial round, and for more question, request you to join the queue again. Participant, whoever wants to ask question, please press raise hand icon on your screen, and once your turn comes, unmute yourself, announce your name and company name first, and then ask your questions. Once you get the reply to your question, please lower your hand icon. Participant, please raise your hand icon to ask the question. So we have first questions from Garvit Goyal. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hi everyone. Congrats for a good set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah. So I'm a bit new to the company as a shareholder, so kindly bear with my questions. So basically, I have two questions. One is on your nascent verticals, like you are doing implementations of various technical implementations like SMT for electronics manufacturing, partnerships with NVIDIA for latest Gen AI, and you also launched high-end servers with Intel technologies. So can you just also highlight the opportunities in the terms of market size, revenue size, etc., going forward in this area? And just to understand on the data center, we are currently making 5% of our overall revenue from data center servers. So India is a growing market as far as the digital adoption is concerned. So accordingly, more the need of the data center, I want to understand from you at the ground level, what exactly we are doing here. Where do we fit in the value chain of the data center industry, and how big the opportunity do you see here for next 2 to 3 years down the line?
Hi, Garvit. Welcome to the network family. And basically, from your questions, it is evident that you are new to network. And basically, I would like to explain you. So network is a different kind of a company, actually, Garvit. Basically, if you see our maybe our strategy presentation or other presentations, you'll understand it. Primarily, our focus is into six areas. The first is basically we are a primarily high-end computing company, and we do end-to-end. We design our hardware, we manufacture our hardware, we have our own software stack, and we have our own service stack. So we do end-to-end. Actually, we are not primarily a box pusher kind of a company who just manufacture servers and tries to sell it. So it's an end-to-end kind of a thing. That's the reason you see our PAT margins also better, our margins are also better, and basically a lot of value addition which goes into our proposition. So there are basically the six segments which we sell. The first is the high performance computing, which we have been doing it for more than 20 plus years actually. And today we have more than 500 plus supercomputers installed. So these are supercomputers, the entire designing is done by us and the manufacturing is done by us. And we have our own software stack, which is basically called TCM, Tyrone Cluster Manager, which completely manages the entire supercomputer. So basically that is the end-to-end thing which we do. And that is around 35% of our business. As regards supercomputing is concerned, basically it's really a growth area wherein basically National Supercomputing Mission and the adoption by oil and gas and various energy verticals really fueling that growth, and the more and more usage is happening. So that is there. The second area for us is primarily the private cloud and HCI. The private cloud and HCI, primarily if you understand that today's world, data centers don't want to use the bare metal servers actually. Basically, they want to use a private cloud. So basically, we have a complete stack in the private cloud, which is known as Skylus. So basically, we do the complete hardware design is from us, the software stack is from us, and we compete with all the major MNCs. And then we deploy the entire private cloud. So the data center growth is helping us so as to basically fuel our private cloud deployments. So that is around 35% of our business. And since the data center growth is happening in such a way, which really says that basically there is a huge demand around it, and the market will be driving by that. The third vertical for us is basically AI systems. We have been working with the GPU since the year 2010 almost all, because since we were involved into supercomputing, for us basically the GPUs normally becomes very clearly integrated into the solution. So we understand GPUs very well. So our systems are designed in such a manner which can accommodate more GPUs, and plus basically the system design is done in such a manner so that they can optimize and use the maximum capability of a GPU. Plus, we have our own container platform and the complete software stack, which end-to-end integrates the AI workflow. So basically, as we have mentioned in our basically in our opening remarks as well, the AI was somewhere around 7% of our business, but currently it is around 11% of our business. The business grew in the AI segment for us from basically by around 2.6 times from what we did last year. So basically, we are seeing that this will become the third pillar of growth for us. If you include all these three, this will be around somewhere around 80% of business comes from these three segments. The fourth segment for us is high-end storage. High-end storage, again, it's a complete design product from us. You understand that all the high-end compute requirements require storage. So we have our own storage portfolio, which addresses that. As regards data center servers, which you mentioned, data center servers is not a focus area for us. We don't want to clearly basically just build servers and sell to data centers. Rather, what we try to do is that we try to sell them as a private cloud. Okay, so basically, because in today's world, actually, bare metal has lost its significance and primarily it goes onto the private cloud. So we want to basically bundle it along with our software stack and then try to sell it. So that's the reason you're seeing the numbers on the data center servers more. And we have been basically, the company's objective is to grow its private cloud business, not primarily into the box business. The last area for us is high-end technical services, which basically we do. We deploy 5G clouds for some telcos involved across the world, actually. So that is, again, a very, very focused area which we work. So these are the six areas we work, actually, Garvit. I think I'm able to help you to explain you the product proposition.
Yes, sir. That was a really good explanation of your business in a short span of time. And sir, one last question is on the guidance part. So what is the guidance for FY25 in terms of top line and bottom or margin, basically?
Yeah, if you see, we have been growing around at 40% CAGR, actually, regularly for the last 2-3 years. And we feel that the kind of, basically, we'll be seeing my order book and everything. So we feel that we'll be still be growing by around 30% CAGR in the years going forward. Around 30 to 35% growth, which I definitely would like to plan.
And are these margins sustainable, what we did in FY24?
Yes, yes, the margins are sustainable. And basically, we feel that we are charging the right amount of margin, and which is much more than our competition. And we are very clearly, we have been maintaining these kind of margins for some years, and we are very confident of maintaining them.
Is there any scope to improve further in terms of margin?
Maybe, I don't think there is a huge scope actually there, because we don't want to really overcharge our customers. We will basically, it may be some few basis points up it can happen, but the guidance will be at the same margin levels approximately.
50 basis point going down a year might be there, not more than that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I'll join back the queue.
Yeah, we have next question from Hardik Rawat. Unmute yourself and go ahead. Hardik, you are on mute.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and congratulations on a great set of results. The performance of your AI business has been quite spectacular this quarter. But I wanted to ask that with respect to the networking switches segment that we were targeting at about 200 million sales for the entire year, we have fallen short of that. So just wanted to understand what was the reason behind that.
Yeah. So thank you, Hardik, for your appreciation. So Hardik, actually networking basically only is because networking, the product development was on its way. And as you know that we are not targeting the volume segment. We are targeting the top of the rack data center switches, and the way the data center is growing, our target is there. So product development was happening, and product has already is completely introduced and launched. So it only started selling by the end of basically last quarter. So basically we did a launch around that, and then basically we had seen the sales. In the current year, we are very confident that we will ramp it up on the networking side, because there is a huge demand and we will cater to that.
Understood. And any updates with respect to the development of ORAN solution that was near commercialization, you mentioned in the last con call?
No, it was not near commercialization last time. I told you it is under development. It will take some time. So basically, okay, it is still under development. We feel that we should be ready by the product by Q3, Q4 this year.
Thank you. Okay, all right. Another thing, sir, was that there was a news item recently with respect to Yotta data centers, ordering more than like $1 billion worth of NVIDIA chips. And since they're also a customer of ours, just wanted to understand, is there any scope of implementation for NetWeb in this project? Usually for the project that you do for other customers, the chips from NVIDIA, are they sourced by NetWeb or are they sourced by the customer and then you use it in your project?
Basically, the chips are definitely sourced by the OEMs only, like NetWeb directly sources it. Even in that case also, basically people will be, the OEMs will be sourcing it. In NVIDIA, basically with the Utah data center kind of a thing, the order announcement was too big. The actual implementation is smaller than that at this point of time. Only the first stage is there. So basically, they are our customers and we are already working with them. And basically, I think I have some kind of restrictions on disclosing what exactly we are trying to do there at this point of time.
Got it, sir. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have next in queue, Mr. Rudresh Kalyani. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Okay. So I have got few questions. So I wanted to know, the cash component has got increased exponentially. So are we looking for any acquisition or something like that?
Yeah, so yeah, acquisitions, actually we have some acquisitions. We want to do only some strategic acquisitions. So we are evaluating something, but at this point of time, I don't think anything which I have to disclose. So maybe basically if something is there, we'll let you know.
Okay. And the revenue from the repeat customer has come down. It's somewhere around 69, which used to be somewhere around 80% or something like that. So, any reason for that?
That is a good thing actually, because basically I think we'll let Prabal answer that. Yeah.
So you will see we have added around 171 new customers, and one of the customer we did a very good billing during this period. So revenue from repeat customers, therefore you are seeing a little bit on the lower side. So that is good for the company. New customers are onboarded and they are giving us a good business.
So just to add here, the existing customer business is also growing. While there was a very large order from a new customer, which kind of skewed this, but both are growing. It's a double engine which is working.
True, it's helping us.
Yeah, it's helping us.
Okay. And one more thing is, see, we have been hearing a lot about this quantum computer being having super computing ability compared to the HPCs. So, any thoughts of entering into this segment?
So basically, I think quantum is something which everybody is talking about. We also have our plans intact. When the right time will come, we will disclose it to you.
Okay. So, the work is in progress in that segment. That's what you meant to say?
We have our plans actually already there.
Okay. And one more thing on the board. So, we don't have any hardcore technical guy in the board. So, do we see that as a constraint for the growth of the company?
No, basically it's not like that. Today, basically we were around on the board. Basically we have Dr. Jasjit Singh Bangla. He is a reputed eminent scientist actually. He's on our board actually. He's an independent member on our board. So the board is, and basically we have on the, again on the SMT side, we have Ms. Romi Jatta. So she's also there. So we have our board is very well made, and plus basically our research and development head, Mr. Mukesh Gola, he has got a wide experience. He has been working with us for 20 years. And basically, we have on the hardware design also, we have some new basically people coming here. So I think more than 70% or maybe 60% of the company's workforce is all engineers actually. So we have a highly technical kind of a workforce and kind of a basically technical expertise available with us. So I don't think we have any limiting factor there.
No, usually what happens is in the ITS companies, we usually have this CTO post. So we don't have any post in the company. So do we
Yeah,
intend
actually
to
we
promote anyone to that level?
basically the thing is that we have our we don't go on that approach, because basically what happens is that for us the hardware design and software both are important. So our focus is more on the R&D. Okay, so basically we focus on the R&D side of it. That's the reason there is no CTO kind of a position. But primarily basically on the product side, the CEO is himself is COO is
highly basically into the product side, and even our sales basically, if you see, we are all technical people like Mr. Hirdar Vikram and his team there, and Mr. Machendra is there now with us. We have a huge team actually, which is basically which on the technical side we have. So I don't think we have any lacking on that, and the company's performance and the way we have been working. Today, you see the NVIDIA came up with us and tied up with us for the entire design of the NVIDIA Grace Hopper chipset. So basically, we are trying to work on the latest chipsets with Intel and AMD, and plus basically the entire whatever compute infrastructure we are doing, they are all on the technical side. So company is on the right path, and we don't have any vacancy as clearly for strategic reasons. We don't want to have a CTO kind of a thing. That's an old-fashioned kind of a thing. Our focus is primarily on the R&D side, and we keep on focusing on that.
Thanks for answering my questions. So
Thank
I
you,
will
sir.
join by the queue.
Thanks. We have next in line, Darshil Jhaveri. Please unmute yourself and ask the question.
Hello.
Yeah, Darshil, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. Congratulations on a great set of results. Sir, I just wanted to know with regards to how does our order book flow? Like, if currently we have around 4,000 million order book pending, so that would be executed over what period of time? And in terms of our order pipeline, what kind of a win rate do we see for it?
Yeah, so basically, as regards to my order book is concerned, if you see, it was around 70-80 crores last year, and it is around 411 crores this year. So basically, our order cycle is pretty fast, actually, Darshil. The thing is that basically, we are able to execute orders between 16 to 20 weeks approximately. Okay, so whatever order book you are saying, that is definitely will be covered between 4 to 5 months, which I personally feel. And plus, basically, as regards our funnel is concerned, we have a huge funnel, which we have already mentioned that. Our win rate is somewhere around 60 to 65% approximately in the cases we have. Since our approach is proactive, our approach is not reactive. We build our cases and then only we qualify them to the funnel. We don't basically just believe in just serving any RFQs which are being published.
So that also brings me to the question with that. My reason for asking was that if your order cycle is so fast, shouldn't would is it possible that we might even grow faster than what we are guided for? Because with and because our pipeline will also increase of 50%. So, just wanted to get some clarity on that. Are we, being a bit conservative in terms of what we want to? And I know it's a very aggressive target, but still, like, with the way our business is growing, I think we could
Yes.
achieve more than what we are guided for. Is that a fair assessment?
Darshil, actually, I'd like to tell you one thing. Basically, if you see basically the industry and all that, clearly we are growing much faster than that. And a 30%, basically 30 or 35% CAGR is not a small growth, which we have been observing over a period of years, actually. Though definitely there are order cycles and all those things are there. We have set up an aggressive target for us. We like to follow that because, again, this is a high-end computing business. This is not a volume kind of a business wherein basically just you have to build and sell. You have to basically be relevant to the customer and you have to sell technology to customer. So definitely, I think whatever targets we have taken, they are aggressive enough, and we will try to adhere to them and try to even overachieve them if possible.
Perfect, sir. And just one more thing regarding our margin, sir. So as we are doing more value add, so as we grow at 30%, do we get some operating leverage? So, maybe our operating profits can be around at 15%, but we get a benefit on the bottom line at a PAT percentage, or how would that flow, sir?
Margin, Darshil, since we are starting up a new plant, so in the year coming year, we don't see any major benefit coming up. Might be few basis points, it may improve, but going down 2 years down, we can see there will be some improvement in the EBITDA margins, and that will be also converted into the PAT margins thereafter.
Oh, okay, perfect, perfect, sir. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
We have one question in the chat box from Chirag Khasiwala, Khasgiwala. How much could AI contribute to the overall revenue over the next 4 to 5 years? And also, can this be lead to a margin improvement? And how much can Netweb benefit from Yotta Data Center's 16,000 crore CapEx announcement?
I will answer the first part. The second portion, I will not like to answer because basically we have confidential regions for customers and all. So basically, the first part of the question is basically, as I mentioned to you, it is around 11% of my current business, AI business. Next year, we think that it will be around maybe around 15 to 16% of business that is growing because you have to understand that the data center business in India is really growing heavily. I have not seen such basically fast growth in data center business in last 25 years. If you see basically today, getting space in a data center is difficult. Data centers have been built all across, and there is a huge demand for data centers. Okay, so basically, even so, private cloud and supercomputing, everything will grow. So basically, next year, I can tell you it will be around 15 to 16%. Overall, 4 to 5 years, we feel that basically this will be matching our the other segments which we have, that is private cloud and supercomputing. They give us around maybe 35% each. So basically, this may also within 5 years, this should be around 30% of the business at the best, what I can predict. Yeah, and Chirag, you're answering your second question actually under NVIDIA tie-up. Will we actually designing and manufacturing chips for NVIDIA? No. The chips are not being designed in India yet. Basically, still the chip fab is coming up. The chips will be coming from NVIDIA only. The entire system will be designed. The entire motherboard will be designed. The entire baseboard will be designed. The entire architecture will be designed. And then that will be manufactured here. The chips as such will not be manufactured in India. The chips will be coming from NVIDIA only.
Thanks. Thanks, Sanjay ji, for answering the second question on the chatbot. We have next in line, Mr. Majid Ahmed. Please unmute yourself and ask the question.
I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm Majid from SmartSync Investment Advisory Services. Very good set of numbers. So my question is, I just want to have a clarification that you are saying that you're not much focused on data centers and are moving towards the software component and private cloud. Is it primarily because of it is margin accretive, or what could be the potential reason? Can you expand on that?
I couldn't get you. This is not clear.
Majid, your audio is not clear. Can you speak close to the mic or
Hello.
on the handset?
Yeah, I'm audible now.
Yeah, much better.
Yes. So my question here is, so you said that you are going to move towards private cloud, then data centers. Your focus is on that side. Is it because it is more margin accretive, or what are the other potential reason that your focus is now on private cloud? And how is the and second part of my question is, how do you see the order book or traction coming from the startup ecosystem?
Yeah, so Majid, actually, as regards CPUC, private cloud is not a new business for us. Private cloud, we have been doing, we started doing private cloud while we were being evolving. In the year 2015, 2016, we started building private cloud actually. Then we started working with deploying it with our customers and most of our, and quite a lot of enterprise customers. So basically, private cloud is a product which we have been selling for some time. It is not that we are trying to shift to private cloud. The business around 30 to 35% of business is in private cloud. We are getting it for last few years regularly. So definitely it has been a very good focus area for us, and it's a very, very niche wherein we have our own hardware and we have our own software solution completely, which is tightly integrated. And so we are able to basically create a value proposition around it and are able to sell it. As regards, basically, I think the question is that why we are not doing data center servers. So basically, thing is that from day one, our focus is primarily building high-end compute on the solution side rather than a box building. So we don't want to basically, because we from the inception of the company 25 years back, there were many tempting times they could have become box builders, but we don't want to become box builders. Our focus is because, and the other thing is that one more thing which I'd like to point out, today's demand is also previously people used to ask for bare metal. Servers means individual servers basically on the data centers, but now people ask for private cloud because you are able to optimize your hardware resources in a much better fashion, much better way, and you are able to manage them very well. Your data redundancy and everything is being taken off very, very, very well. So you have the entire set of assets available under one in one window, and wherein we can allocate and you can hire and create your machines. So I think basically it's the industry has changed to private cloud, and since we are already there, we are taking advantage of it. That's the first part of it. The second part of the question, I forgot about that.
So regarding the startup ecosystem, like how is order book?
Order book, okay. So basically, as regard the order book is concerned, sir, we have already shown that basically our order book has grown significantly, and plus I have also shown what my basically we are already L1 in more than 300 crores of basically orders, which will convert, because since the POs have not been received, so they will be received in few months actually. So that will definitely cover into order book. So that is there. So order book looks robust. Order book conversion looks robust. The kind of funnel we have is really very good. And we are all trying our level best to convert it to our best. So we are very buoyant about it. And basically that gives me the confidence to of basically achieving the growth rate of 30 to 35% as I have committed.
Yes, so the final question that I have is, how do you see the competitive intensity in the market? What the new players are coming in? And how are you planning to differentiate yourself? And what are the key USP you are trying to play, especially?
My key USP will remain the same. One is the maintaining the niche, and the other is that basically end-to-end. We don't want to become a pure hardware company. We are trying to have a hardware stack, we have a software stack, we want to sell it in a completely integrated fashion. And basically, we do the design ourselves, we do the manufacturing ourselves, we have our own software stack. So that is end-to-end. That helps us to create a differentiator, because for a competition to try to build all the three areas and to come up as a competition will be tough. People are definitely trying, they may try also, but I think it's not that easy to primarily build all the three areas and then come and clearly compete. So basically the competition will remain MNC as it is presently, and I don't see any major threat from competition as yet.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. All the very best.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have next line, Mr. Ankur Jain. Please unmute yourself and go ahead. Ankur, we can't hear you. Ankur?
Am I audible?
Yeah, now you are audible. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Basically, your statement is that India is poised to become AI factory of the world. This presents promising opportunities for us expanding our diverse product offerings. Sir, what exactly are your AI products? I want to know, sir.
Yeah, so basically the thing is why I have mentioned that, basically that's the statement which even Jensen also mentioned, and Modi, our Prime Minister, respected Prime Minister, also had that vision to do it, because basically India became the software factory of the world, and the India, basically AI, the kind of work load and kind of things which are happening, that definitely offers the country the same kind of situation. So basically, as regards our system, my products are concerned, my products are both primarily on the hardware side. We have a very efficient design which basically integrates the GPUs into my systems and completely integrates it and provides the kind of architecture which can give you the optimal and the best performance. So that is there. One is the hardware design. The second is the software stack which we have, which is completely container optimized, which completely helps so as to basically manage the entire AI workflow actually for a customer. So that really the production, the inferencing, and basically the entire learning, the entire curve is completely being taken care of. So we are on the verge of the new technology. We are always there with the leaders, with the NVIDIA and all, who are trying to develop the latest products in the AI. So basically that will offer. And you can understand, if you see that today the AI ecosystem, really the startups, the way the startups are basically coming up with their different kind of LLM models and all that. So they all are starving for primarily kind of basically compute. Okay, so basically, and compute is very costly. So all the startups cannot afford it. So that's the reason the government is considering a sovereign cloud. So as to make a sovereign cloud, which can offer these services to various all these basically startups, all the researchers who are trying to do. So even if you see if you see the balance sheet of more than 70% of the balance sheet which are coming today, they all have AI word inside it. So everybody is trying to basically scale up and to take benefit of the AI technology so that their performance can be improved. So I think there is, and this is evident from the worldwide situation also. Today there is an acute shortage of GPUs. That is just because basically the demand for GPUs is very high, because everybody sees their workloads being much more refined and much more working, much more faster by use of GPUs. So India cannot be left far behind in that, and India has got a very good technical manpower, and primarily they are very strong in all kind of technical skills. So our engineers, definitely the startup ecosystems, the Indian companies, the Indian global basically sister GSIs and all those, they are all basically implementing it. So there's a huge opportunity that will create a huge demand for AI compute, which we are ready to serve. And basically, we are very innovative, and primarily, we are also working on the, all kinds of basically the large AI clouds which are coming up.
So, sir, can I say that we are not just doing the job work, but we are doing some innovation also in the AI? Is it like that?
Yes, we are doing innovation on the systems, how to help the AI workload. We are not trying to basically use on particular applications. What we are trying to do, basically, AI workflow is a very complex workflow, actually. It starts from learning, then it goes to inferencing and production. So basically trying to integrate all of them so that the AI workloads can run seamlessly. So basically there is a lot of innovation which goes into the hardware design. There is a lot of innovation which goes into the completely the containerization and the optimization of the application. So we have found a niche there and we are working on that.
So can we say that means the main part of the AI or the main support system of the AI is computing and we are working on that only. The most, our product is that.
Our
right?
computing and the application workflow.
Okay. Sir, other question is that all our products are B2B or B2G only or some B2C products are also there?
No, we have everything is B2B actually, and we don't have any B2C kind of a product.
Okay. Okay. So that's why we cannot feel it in the real life with a layman person like us. Okay. Sir, other question is that means I think that the chip and all these things that you are sourcing from the NVIDIA. So are we generating sufficient margins on that? I think that most of the cost is going there only. Is it like that or am I wrong?
Today you see my balance sheet, actually my margins speak about it, the kind of margins we are doing, because we are doing a lot of valuation on hardware and software. It's not pure hardware kind of a thing. So basically, my margins are much better than my peers across the world. So basically, that's the thing. So margins have been very stable. If you see over a period of time, they've been growing also slowly. So basically, I think we have very comfortable margins and we are very sure of maintaining those.
Okay, so sir, can we can we have that this 30-40% growth over around 8 to 10 years in the future? Longevity, what will be the longevity of it?
Yes, basically at least 4 to 5 years we can say that. Beyond that, I think I will not like to comment at this point of time.
So, keeping a horizon of around 4 to 5 years, we can safely say that we will grow with in a CAGR of around 30-35%.
On the top line?
On the top line, yes.
Okay, sir. So, sir, we are coming up with...
I request you to come in the follow-up round because there are more participants waiting in the queue, please.
Only one question, sir, if you can take.
Please come in the follow-up. Thanks. Yeah, we have next in line as a question from Mr. Sarthak Batra from Birla Mutual Fund. His question is, our cash flow from operation for the year has been low at 18%. What is the cash flow from operations conversion that we are targeting in a steady state?
So, we are targeting around 33-35%. Within this range, cash from operations should be there.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, the business has certain amount of minimum working capital, below which it will be very difficult. So, visibly 70 days of cash cycle will remain in the business, and it is volume, as the revenue grows, it will grow proportionately. So, that's the reason why the cash conversion cycle beyond 33% is going to be difficult.
Okay, okay. We have next in line, Pav Jain. Please unmute yourself and ask question. Pav Jain?
Hello, Sanjay sir. Hello, Praful sir. Congrats on the good set of numbers. Sir, what I broadly understand that our business can be looked at from two perspectives. One is the software stack and software services that we provide. And second is this hardware side of our business. If you can give us a brief overview of what portion of contribution to our revenues and our bottom lines are from each of these segments, that will help us understand the company better, sir.
Actually, that's the thing. Actually, we don't sell our software separately, and we basically our hardware and software is completely bundled together. Even to our customers also, basically, like we give them a private cloud kind of a solution. We give them a supercomputer in which basically the hardware and software is bundled. So we don't bill or basically even capitalize any of our softwares as well, whatever we develop. So basically, primarily it goes as a joint solution to them. Only around 2 to 3% of the business directly is from the high-end services which we provide, which I mentioned to you, which basically have been basically we have been promotions. We are doing a lot of good expertise into the cloud side of it. So we are deploying some 5G clouds from some telcos and some so that is around 2 to 3%. Other than that, all the business is primarily, if you see all the three heads which we have mentioned, the first is supercomputing, the private cloud HCI, the AI systems, and the storage. All these includes the software as well. Only around 5% to 6% of business, basically, that is the data center servers, that is pure from the hardware sales.
And
Sir,
we
sorry.
don't track our margin separately for software and hardware.
Since you don't sell them separately.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes, we don't sell them separately, so we don't track individually.
right, sir.
Because
Right, sir. So, sir, right, broadly, what I understand is hardware is something like one kind of a business. So once a data center, for example, Amar, this Anant Raj, for example, they have purchased these servers from you. So they will have those servers in line for the next 10, 20, 50 years. But the software is a recurring kind of a business. So I mean, if you look at your business, the software should be contributing broadly more in terms of both margins and revenue. So just a broad overview.
I will answer you. I'll answer you very well. Actually, basically, I will not like to mention any customer very clearly. Okay, so basically, Prabh, I would like to tell you that what happens is that please understand the servers they buy from us, they are not going to be with them for 10 years or 15 years. Please understand it. The server technology changes every 18 months. The Intel will release a new chipset every 16 to 18 months. The NVIDIA will come up with GTC and they will try to develop a new chip and they'll try to give it to the world every maybe in a year or a year and a half. Okay. So what happens is that in this industry, the best thing for us is the repeat business. Today, some X data center buys somewhere, some maybe some a private cloud from me. But basically, after 3 years or after 4 years, we sell them with the complete services and everything intact. So after 3, 4 years, they will come back to us for a refresh. That basically because the same amount of power, they are able to get more number of cores. They are able to get much more functionality what they were getting earlier. So basically this high-end, because the data center will fail if they don't refresh. So they will have to clearly go for refresh. So we target the refresh revenue rather than the recurring revenue. As regards my software is also concerned, basically we because that's the reason people want to buy from us. Today, if my competition is VMware or Nutanix or something, what they will do for buying VMware, they have to buy 10 or 20 different licenses. Okay, and each licenses basically they have to buy and track and to basically renew them and all that. In my case, basically we give them a perpetual license and basically give them support for the complete 3 year or 5 year, whatever period they are going for. So product is fully covered. They definitely come for AMC later on in case they don't want to change it, but that is the business we really don't want to target. We want to target the refresh revenue. We want to go and tell them, sir, whatever you had bought is now become obsolete, and you can really look at some time refreshing your usage so you are able to better utilize your power, you are better utilize your rack space, and you are able to service your customer in a much better fashion. I hope I'm able to make it clear for them.
Right, sir, that sounds
That is
wonderful.
also evident if you will see the percentage of revenue from my repeat customers. So that is above 70-80%. So that is one of
Right,
the
sir.
reasons we have repeat customers.
Sir, on that very note, the repeat customers' revenues, if we see the revenue from new customers, sir, I mean, that has grown significantly. So what I broadly can make out from that is that new customers are contributing large portion of our revenues, which is a very good sign. So going forward, also, can we expect these kind of big ticket orders to come to Netweb? And if that happens, I mean, can we expect our business to grow at a faster rate than what, I mean, management has been conservatively guiding, although it is a good guidance, but still, with new customer additions, can we expect the average ticket size to grow further?
Yeah, Trump, actually, what is happening is that basically in this business, the customer is more important to us. Okay, and all these are enterprise customers or large government customers. We are not present in the SMB space at all. Okay, so they become very important for us. The ticket size can be small, can be large, actually.
But basically, the kind of customer, since basically the complete integrated kind of a situation, so we are getting new customers also. The repeat, the old customers are very strong customers. So basically, they are also continuing to do business. So basically, as regard the growth aspect also at this point of time, because I'm telling you, this is a very mature kind of a business. This is not a consumer business or something wherein I can predict and I can say something. Basically, whatever statement I like to give a very mature statement. So basically, whatever I am telling, 30 to 35% kind of a growth, we are not a startup. Please understand that. We do inside the energy of the company just like a startup, but we are not a startup. So we have experience in past also doing that. So that gives us a confidence of giving you a CAGR growth of 30 to 35%, and 30 to 35% growth kind of CAGR, which we have been achieving year on year, is really a very good kind of a growth which we are already promising, and we like to maintain and achieve it actually.
Right, sir. I mean, 30% is a brilliant figure, sir. But sir, what
Parv,
my
request you to
question?
come in the follow-up, please.
No, just a clarification on this side, if you may allow. So the new customers, I mean, if we can see more new customers coming on with a good amount of ticket, I mean, is that a good thing, or how do you see that for our business?
समझिए आप कि बेसिकली लास्ट ईयर हमारा बिजनेस 446 करोड़ था, इस साल हमारा बिजनेस 722 करोड़ है. तो ग्रोथ इतना ज्यादा है बिजनेस में कि नए कस्टमर का स्पेस अपने आप ही बन जाता है, ठीक है ना. तो 30-40% का ग्रोथ कोई कम ग्रोथ नहीं होता है. और बेसिकली जो हमारे पुराने कस्टमर चाहे नए कस्टमर भी लार्ज कस्टमर्स में आएंगे, किसी को सबका लार्ज टिकट होता है. इस साल हो सकता है किसी कस्टमर का ऑर्डर नहीं, अगले साल आ जाएगा. तो दैट्स वे बेसिकली इट कीप्स ऑन हैपनिंग. तो हमको उसको ट्रैक के हमें बहुत ज्यादा नहीं करना पड़ता है, बिकॉज वी क्लियरली ड्राइव आवर बिजनेस. हमें अपने सेगमेंट्स के हिसाब से अपनी फनल को ड्राइव करना पड़ता है. आपको फनल दिखाई दे रही है, कितनी बड़ी फनल है, और सारी प्रोएक्टिव फनल है. वी हैव ऑल द एंटायर फनल इज प्रोएक्टिव फनल. सो बेसिकली दैट हेल्प्स अस एंड गिव्स अस द कॉन्फिडेंस एंड वी लाइक टू मेंटेन दैट.
Right, sir, thank you so much for answering. Good.
Thanks, Bob. We have next in line Mr. Abhishek Shah. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Congratulations on a great quarter. Just one quick question. Since we are into hardware manufacturing, just wanted to get an idea on what, I guess, in terms of revenue, would be our current manufacturing capacity, and what CapEx do we have lined up, and to what capacity will that take us to going forward?
Sorry, I am not getting your name.
Abhishek.
Abhishek. So, Abhishek, we don't measure our capacity, rather, we go with the capabilities. So, currently, if you will see, we are adding a CapEx of around 35-40 crores, which was promised in the IPO. And with that type of CapEx coming in, that will be sufficient for us to take us to a revenue of around 1,800 to 2,000 crores. So in our case, capacity utilization, that doesn't matter, please.
Because what happens is that our manufacturing is primarily focused on the high-end computing, so we need basically new machinery, new technical skills, so as to basically completely manufacture our products. So that's the reason we are investing into it. Because we don't do any kind of contract manufacturing or anything, so we really are not much bothered about the capacity. Capacity is already there with us. We don't need to add CapEx for capacity. We have to add CapEx for capabilities actually.
Okay, so then in that sense, this 30 to 40 crore CapEx has already been incurred by the company.
So some has been incurred and some will be there in the coming year.
Okay, and considering this takes us to approximately 2,000 crores of revenue, would it be fair to say then that for the next maybe 2 to 3 years, we may not incur any significant CapEx going forward?
You can say some revenue, some CapEx will be there, which is a preventive or a
routine
CapEx of around 10% of our gross block. That will be there, but nothing major thought of CapEx will be there for the next 2-3 years. Routine will always be there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
We have next in line, Mr. Yash Gandhi. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to ask, how do you distinguish between L1 and your order book? Like, if I believe your L1, there's like 100% certainty, right? That L1 that you have about 304 crores, 314 crores will be converted to your order book this year itself.
Yes, so basically, as we rightly said, until unless we receive the PO, we have won the order, but the purchase order has not come. So that is the kind of situation we call it L1, means lowest one it has been decided. It's the probability is around 100%, as you mentioned, of getting the order. But till we get the PO, we cannot mention that it is in the order book. So that's the only difference.
Okay, so how much time does it take for it to get converted from L1 to order book, like broadly?
That can take some time. It can basically, normally we have seen is that it can take maybe from 15 days to maybe 3 months.
Sorry, what was that?
From 2 weeks to 3 months.
Okay. So, and what is the convert? So, 2 weeks to 15.
Basically, like what happens is, in case of government, sometimes what happens is that the order, we are L1, then after they apply for some kind of basically permissions and all those kind of things in which you get the order. So it's, normally we have seen that within 2 weeks to it comes fast only, but the maximum I feel is maximum 3 months it takes, not beyond that.
Okay. And so who are your bidders in a government tender?
Who am
Who are the bidders, like
The bidders are
in any of the government?
basically, they like basically we work with all the, you see, all the primarily all the high-end computing bodies, all the major, all the IITs, all the IIMs, all the basically primarily your DRDOs, defense, air force, basically the government tender. We have all the major R&D facilities and all this kind of defense and all those kind of people we have. We hardly do business with the state government. Our most of business is primarily with the central government institutions.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, we have next in line, Mr. Arnav Kashyap. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations, NetWeb team, for these great set of numbers. Just I wanted to know, can you elaborate on your relationship with NVIDIA, meaning your role is only integrating chips to your stack, or there is any knowledge exchange or any margin accretive thing which is part of the agreement and which falls on our side of the agreement? That is first question.
You want me to answer that first?
Yes, you can answer
Yes,
that first.
I will answer that. Okay. So basically, as regards my relationship with NVIDIA goes back to 15 years. Basically, you can understand that we have been active in the supercomputing domain, and in the supercomputer, people were never happy with the kind of processing speed they get from the processors. They are always looking for accelerators. So in the way back in, because you know, NVIDIA was primarily the GPUs were made for graphics, not for compute. So basically, in 2010, NVIDIA started working basically so as to see that if their graphics chips can be used for the compute. And that's the reason they developed a program called CUDA, and which was not basically a general purpose programs cannot run on GPUs. So they started popularizing it. So we worked with them very hard so that basically so as to primarily popularize that. And basically it was a very long process in which basically it was given to various universities, various places. Across the world, this activity happened. We were also part of it. So in that process, we understand the GPUs very well. So the relationship with NVIDIA has been because we were just, I did not make an announcement, but we were awarded as the largest partner for NVIDIA in the country also at the recent GTC, which was held in California. So basically, and my agreement with NVIDIA is very clear. They will give me the chips and they will provide me the reference architecture. That basically, this is the chip, and any chip, if you want to develop a system on a chip, basically you have to make, you have to design your motherboard. You need to get the reference architecture, which is basically a kind of a only a kind of a OEM relationship can give you. So we have an OEM relationship with NVIDIA, which helps us so as to get all those kind of information so that basically my design team can co-work with them and can clearly create a design for the server, which is based on those chips. Okay, so that is the kind of relationship which we have with NVIDIA.
Thank you, Mr. Lodha. That was very elaborative. And the other thing I wanted to know was these 171 new customers which we added. Can you name some prominent ones as a shareholder? I just want to know.
that is under our NDA. We don't disclose the customer names.
Okay, okay. So, thank you, sir. Thank you.
We have a time for last question. That is from Ashish T. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, are we part of the Rudra supercomputers, which probably CDAC is giving orders to some of the companies?
Yeah, actually, we are not part of the Rudra supercomputers, actually, as regards to CDAC is concerned, because primarily our focus is primarily, as I told you, our focus is not only manufacturing. Okay, so we just don't want to basically manufacture the hardware and give it to somebody, because CDAC has got its own stack and they are trying to do that. And there have been challenges on the Rudra side also, because basically it is based on some on Cascade Lake systems and all. So definitely we have excellent relationship with CDAC, but we don't want to become a box pusher. That's the reason we are not focusing on the Rudra supercomputer.
Fair enough. So lastly, on this Yota and our NVIDIA engagement, any timelines you could share as to when can we see the commercial revenues starting to come?
Basically, again, deal specific, I will not like to address. There is a huge demand. I already told you there is a basically everybody is all the CSPs are all working on large AI cloud. We are working with all of them, and basically, what that will all transform into revenue, and definitely there is a market around that. People are trying to build things, and we are working aggressively. But I will not like to pinpoint or speak about one specific customer at all.
All we would like to say is keep looking out at this space.
Okay, so that would be fair to assume that the 30%, 30-35% revenue guidance, so these engagements are not involved into this, right?
No comments.
You can't, you're trying to take out the new guidance from us, which is not happening.
Yeah, so I organic versus inorganic, so it's okay. Yeah, thanks a lot. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks for all your support.
Yeah, so now due to the time restriction, we need to end this webinar. And thank you all the participants, senior management of NetWeb and Mr. Sanjeev for attending the webinar. We can now end this webinar and leave the same. Thank you all once again.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.